Good afternoon. This week is Parshas Zachar and Parshas Tetzaveh. Right at the beginning of the Parsha, the Torah tells us, right, Ve'atot Tetzaveh B'nei Yisrael. Hashem is telling Moshe, again, interestingly, that Moshe's name does not appear in this week's Parsha. It's the Parsha which coincides with the yard side of Moshe Rabbeinu. And many point out that it seems to be a kiyum, it seems to be the fulfillment of Moshe's words, which we have in the context of the Torah later, but took place, in context before the Chet HaEgel, according to many of Mechini Nomi Sifrecha, when he was davening for Kal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Hashem to erase him from this book. The words of a tzaddik have to be mekuyim somewhere, and apparently on the week of his yahrzeit was the week that HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt was the right time to do that. So it says, V'atah tetzaveh es b'nei Yisrael v'ichu elecha, and you should take for you shemen zayis zoch kosis lamaor. The purest olive oil should be for the menorah. Laha'alos ner tamid. That the candle of the flame of the menorah should be constantly lit. Rashi comments, what does it mean, tamid? Laha'alos ner tamid. So first Rashi tells us a beautiful idea. Madlik achtei shalhebes olamei leha. That the requirement is to put the fire there until the fire can burn on its own. And as true as it is as a candle, it's certainly true for a neshama as well. It's certainly true when it comes to children, when it comes to inspiring somebody. The goal is to make sure that their fire can burn on their own. In the end, obviously, people have to be able to grow and thrive. But the way to do it is to make sure that they shall have us as olam me'aleha. And once the flame is lit and can burn on its own, then it's time to step back. But Rashi comments on tamid. What does tamid mean? So we know that tamid means something which happens all of the time. But Rashi tells us, kol laila v'laila kare tamid. Rashi seems to be bothered, but the menorah wasn't constantly lit. The menorah was only lit at night. So why is it called tamid if it's only from night to night? So says Rashi, something which is done consistently from night to night is still called tamid. How does he know it? Kamosha omer olas tamid ve'eino ela miyom liyom. He says you see it by the carbon tamid. The carbon tamid is daily. It's not brought constantly. So you see that something which is done consistently, which is done on a day-to-day basis, the Torah can use the word tamid to describe it, even though it's not something which is going to be taking place all the time. And similarly, he says when it comes to the chavitin is the special korban mincha of the Kohen Gadol, which in a certain sense parallels the korban tamid. It's a korban which has to be half brought in the morning, half brought in the evening, and it's brought every single day there. It also says tamid. But Rashi does tell us, but don't think that tamid always means that. Aval tamid ha'amar b'lechem ha'panim, when it comes to the special lechem, which had to stay on the shulchan constantly, so the Torah there also says tamid. Aval tamid ha'amar b'lechem ha'panim mishabbos ha'shabbos. It has to be there constantly for the whole week, so much so that they were very careful that as they were slipping out the older loaves of bread that miraculously stayed fresh, the new ones would come in. So Rashi seems to be telling us that there are two different definitions of tamid. Tamid can mean something which is what we would call 24/7, constant, or it can mean something which is done daily, which is done consistently. That's what Rashi tells us. And the question is, when it comes to the korban tamid, the Torah tells us what the korban is. It says, as a keves echad, you bring one sheep in the morning and one sheep in the evening. So there it has to be true, it has to be the case, that tamid means constantly, because we know it's one korban in the morning and one korban in the afternoon. So by definition, and similarly when it comes to the korban of the Kohen Gadol, it tells us half in the morning, half in the afternoon. So Rashi has to tell us that tamid there means it means consistently every single day. But how does Rashi know that it's true when it comes to the menorah? How does Rashi know to say that when it says here, V'atot tetzaveh es b'nei Yisrael v'ikhu elecha shemen zayis zoch kasis lamaor lahalos ner tamid, take the freshest olive oil so that you can have the fire constantly burning in the Mishkan or in the Beis HaMikdash, maybe that means 24/7. How does Rashi know that the Tamid there means consistently? There's nothing which is driving that it has to be true, as is the case when it comes to the Chavitin or when it comes to the Korban Tamid. So in the Shemen HaTov, he suggests as follows. Chazal tell us, what's the idea of the menorah? V'chila, where it says that the menorah is there as a light in the Mishkan. What do you mean as a light in the Mishkan? V'chila ora hu tzarech. Hashem needs the light. He needs our help to have a direction where to go. It's going to be dark otherwise. What does that mean? Right? The purpose of the menorah clearly was supposed to be a testimony that we should know, that B'nai Yisrael should know that the Shekhinah is present. So what Rashi tells us is that the word Tamid doesn't have to always mean the quantity of the amount of time, but it could also mean the quality. It doesn't have to mean the kamus, but it could mean the echus. And the lesson is, and maybe it's a very important one, that Rashi is hinting to. Again, obviously Rashi knew it from Chazal, but the message that is indicated through Tamid here, even though it doesn't have to mean only from day to day, it could have been constant, is that the hadlaka which is done each and every day, the hadlaka which is a testimony to Hashem's relationship with us, should leave a roshem, it should leave an impact on us throughout the day. And that we don't need it to be constantly, because we're not always, in life we don't always see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand, we don't always have that constant reminder that Hashem is present. What's more important is that at the moments when we do have it, that we let it make an impact, that we walk away with it, that we show that it's something which follows with us and walks along with us each and every day. So when it comes to the cases, so that's perhaps what Rashi is hinting to here. Yes, Tamid could have meant that. Once we see that Chazal, again, it was clear, understood that it didn't mean that, the greatness and the lesson of the fact that Tamid, even though it didn't have to mean that, does mean that, is because that's really the message of the menorah. The message of the menorah is that the Shekhinah is there when it's lit, but even when it's not lit. Even when we don't see it, even when that flame is not burning as brightly from our perspective, we can still be confident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is with us. That's one idea, a beautiful idea, right from the beginning of the parsha. A little later in the parsha, in the same parak, but later when it's describing the big day kahuna, so it tells us about maybe what's perhaps the best known of all of the, and the, you know, stands out as the most beautiful of all of the big day kahuna, is the choshen, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, with all of its, made out of gold, with all of its beautiful stones representing all of the shvatim. And the way that it was designed was that the choshen was tied to the ephod, which was kind of like a backwards apron, which had shoulder straps, which came over the shoulders of the Kohen Gadol, and it was tied in the corners to the choshen, to the ephod. But then the Torah tells us, right, you should make the rings out of gold for this connection. And connect it with a string of techeles, so that it should be on the ephod, and that the choshen should not separate from the ephod. So Chazal tell us that the pasuk here of Eloiza Chachoshen is not just telling us, practically speaking, if you tie it up, so then the Choshen is not going to separate, but it's actually a prohibition. There's a lav in the Torah of separating the Choshen for the Ephod. The Choshen and the Ephod must remain together. And it makes you wonder, why is that so significant? Yeah, this is the way it has to be done. There should be a specific lav in the Torah. There's a negative commandment that do not, no matter what happens, make sure that the choshen and the ephod remain together. It seems difficult. Well, again, we don't question the why of the mitzvahs, but what does it reflect? What does it teach us about the nature of the mitzvahs? So again, in the Shemen HaTov, he wanted to suggest like this. The choshen, Chazal tells us, is each of the big day kahuna is mechaper, brings a certain kapara for Klal Yisrael, and each of them correspond to certain sins. And the ephod, the choshen, corresponds, it's called the choshen hamishpat. And the fact that it's called choshen hamishpat, the choshen of justice, is because it's mechaber, brings kapar for ivus hadin. When din and when is not meted out properly, and it's being done in a corrupt or an improper fashion, that the choshen, the presence of the choshen in the avoda of the Kohen Gadol, brings a kapara for those averos. The ephod is in gematria, is peh, the mouth. And the idea is that the ephod is coming to tell us that you have to be, and the connection between the ephod and the choshen is that your mouth and your heart have to be the same, pivalivo shavin, and you should say what you mean and mean what you say. So he said quotes from Moshe Feinstein, a little bit of a deeper idea. That's one idea, but he says a little bit deeper. He says, the choshen is mechaper and ivus hadin. So what does it mean to be mechaper and ivus hadin? When justice is not being done properly, what does that reflect? That reflects a lack and a deficiency in the area of bein adam lechavero. And in the broader sense, it really brings a kapara for all that's lacking in bein adam lechaverom. The ephod, on the other hand, is not just about peh. That message is a nice message, but what avera is it mechaper for? So Chazal tell us that it's mechaper for the chait of avodah zarah, for idolatry. What's idolatry, you know, symbolic of in the broader sense? It's the mitzvahs bein adam lamakom, between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the Torah telling us, says Reb Moshe, what the Torah is telling us when it says, Lo yizach hachoshen me'al ha'efod, is you can't make a distinction. You can't separate the mitzvot bein adam l'chaveru and the mitzvot bein adam l'makom. You can never think, well, I'm going to zero in on the mitzvot bein adam l'chaveru and I'm going to be a nice person. Okay, whatever happens with the mitzvot happens with the mitzvot. That's not, that's it's incomplete. That's improper. Yes, it's important to be nice to people, for sure. But if you're lacking in the mitzvot, that's not an avodas Hashem. That's not the right way to do it. But at the same time, you can't focus only on bein adam l'makom and on your personal spiritual pursuits at the sake of other people and forsaking other people. It has to be a balance. It's a beautiful message, and it certainly, as Purim is coming, Haman was able to attack the Jewish people. He told the Achashverosh that they're an amifuzor mefurad bein ha'amim. There wasn't any sense of achlas. Maybe they were learning Torah. Maybe they were doing mitzvos. But there wasn't that bein adam l'chaveru. And until it was leich kenos esayudim, until they brought the Jewish people together, and they're made, and the mitzvos that they made, right, all of the mitzvos of Purim are about tzibor, are about other people. It's sending mishloach manos to a friend. It's about a sudas Purim with friends. It's about matanas levyon and giving something to the needy. It's about a megillah which is read Berov Am, with the bracha of Harav Esrivein was only said with a minion. It's about doing things together. And that's what Moshe says is the lesson here, and that's certainly a beautiful lesson to walk away from as we prepare for the avoda, for the work, and it is work. The way we celebrate Purim has to come from with a sense of kedusha to it. It has to be done in the right way. So maybe that's the idea to walk away from, is the reminder that we have to find that balance of perfecting our bein adam l'chaver, our relationship to other people, but at the same time, the bein adam l'makom, and creating the right balance between the two. And hopefully, if we do that, then the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a Yeshua, in the times of Purim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will again bring us a Yeshua, la Yehudim HaSa'ora, the Simcha, V'Sasam V'Kar, Kein Tia Lanu.